Hallelujah. Somebody give Jesus a hand clap of praise this morning. How many are ready to say enough is enough on my family, America, the nation, and nations of this world? And we are ready together to see God's Spirit being poured out, to see lives changed, people be renewed, bodies being made whole, and lives being restored. Somebody give a hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give Jesus praise. Thank you so much for having me come and hearing me blabber for 2 days in a row. What a blessing that is. Would you please just extend a great applause to your pastor and the first lady, because behind every great man, there's a great woman. And so we thank God for Pastor John and for Natalie, for all the hard workers yesterday who made the evening with the ladies' tea just a wonderful delight with just delicious food, very scrumptious, beautiful. I love to eat. This is why I exercise. And seriously. And because I tend to grow in the Lord in other ways than spiritually. So just so grateful to let you have me come and share with you again this morning. I believe God wants to pour his Spirit out on his church, upon this nation and other nations. Can I get a hallelujah? See, in India, it's the land of the hallelujah where I served, okay? And so I say hallelujah a lot. I haven't been able to shake that. So sometimes I say amen, and then sometimes I say hallelujah. So if you can give me back an hallelujah or an amen or just some kind of verbal, you know, shout down with a little hand waved, we would be doing good. And I appreciate that. Can we just give that a whirl today? Can anybody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. All right. Get things warmed up a little bit. Burn a little calories while you do it, and it is all good. Breathe that into the atmosphere, and it'll change some things, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what. Yes, God did do an incredible work in India. It was a memorable moment. Over 30,000 people heard the gospel of Jesus proclaimed from Sunday to Sunday within a week's time. Hallelujah. Yes, preached about 13, 14 times. Woo! Thank you, Jesus, for your divine empowerment. But you know what? There is a cost that is involved. But if you stay faithful to the cost, God will be faithful to produce some fruit. And 1,503 people made decisions for the Lord. Hallelujah. And not to think that I'm a blow-in and blow-out people person, you know, because some might think you are because you are an evangelist or a missionary evangelist. You travel all over the world or whatever. But here's the thing. That was within a church, and it was not outside. And I think that is the best way to go at it, is to do it within the church and have people come, what, to the church. Because then there is hopefully an intentional step in which Pastor Steve did do that to where, you know what, you can build upon that and then make disciples, right? They got the names, addresses of all those 1,503 people after several weeks, invited all those 1,503 people back to the church again so they can be discipled and integrated within the church. Isn't that the way it works? And so the Lord, actually, next month, although I'm speaking at different various places, and yes, I speak at women's conferences, as well as doing Hunger for Healing conferences and just services like this one today, our next gospel campaign that we're having focused point is in January at a small church in Keshena, Wisconsin. It's another type of India. It's another type of tribe. It's the Menominee tribe. And it has 8,000 people in it. And 8,000 people in that area, and we're going to do a mass gospel campaign. We're even doing overflow in the many various places in the church, going to try and pack it out, and even thinking, considering doing bonfires, if we can get the burn permit to go outside. That's very tribal. And hey, if there's overflow and it's cold, sit around a bonfire like you normally, you're used to doing anyway, right, with tribal stuff. And let the gospel of Jesus be proclaimed in the highest suicide rate in all of Wisconsin within the Menominee tribe. And from what I understand, the pastor told me that there's one opiate overdose a week. And I believe, though, the light of Jesus wants to shine in the darkness. So if you think about it, pray for us. And as we go about FragrantFireMinistries.com, if you want to look at that or if you want to give, that would be just fantastic. But I can't wait to see what Jesus is up to here today. And yesterday we talked with the women, and I kind of want to make this a focal point for the decorated dads that are here today. Yes, I do a lot of play on words, just FYI. And why do we call it decorated dads? Well, first of all, we just want to honor those people that have been decorated. And what I mean by that is we know we celebrate Memorial Day. We celebrate, do you know Memorial Day was also called Decoration Day, if you do history? And it was to remember those who have given their lives through the different wars that we have had here in America. And we want to honor them. It's called Decoration Day. Now we call it more of Memorial Day. It was a term basically known more in the North than in the South. But there is something about honoring those people who have paid a price in their duty of service. Yes? So if you're here today, we want to honor you and we just want to applaud you. If you have given your lives and have served in any facet of America and any of our service areas, Army, Navy, whatever type of military, could you please just stand? And we want to honor you and recognize you this morning. Can we give them a hand? Now, I want all of those men that are here today, you are a decorated dad. That means you have some scars. You have been through life. And sometimes it feels like you have been in the trenches. Just because you are a dad and you are a leader, we want to honor you as far as being a man and heroes in our life. Could you please stand? And we want to honor you this morning. Every dad, every male here, we just speak that into your life. Yes. Thank you so much. You can be seated. I don't know. Go figure that. There's a woman actually honoring, you know, men there. Maybe that might benefit America and the nations a little more for our women to speak more highly of our men. Hallelujah. So, but anyway, our founding fathers came actually from a land of where there was suppression, where some of them were persecuted because of their faith, because of what they believed. And they were like, we want to form another nation where we have freedoms and where there was not any suppression and where can we be loosed of all captivity. And that's what our founding fathers wanted. They wanted to discover a new land to build a strong foundation for their families. That's what our founding fathers wanted. And they came here to America to say, you know what? We want to build a strong foundation. But I think that's actually biblical too. There is a reason why God made man from the dust of the earth. Dust comes from the ground. Ground is very what? Foundational, isn't it? Because he desired man to be what? Strong and foundational, sturdy, unshakable, unmoved. Why? He wants man to be exact representation of who he is. God, our rock, our foundation, our strength, our source. I want man to replicate that. I'm making him from the foundation of the world. So we call them our founding fathers. God says, this is something I can build upon. This is something that I know families can be built upon. And if I can make really good men, and men can be, because that's why God said, don't bow down to any idols. You know, there was a word that God's spoken through us today, you know, about going to other places and other sources to be us. The reason why God says, number one, in his Ten Commandments, have no other gods before you, and why there was the father's blessing that he gave over his kids, it's when it says, do not make any idols, it means something that you bow down to. In the Old Testament, I'm veering a little bit, but I'll come back with the brain train, okay? It goes in many tracks. is when, you know what? When you went to have the blessing of the Father, very scriptural, back in the Old Testament days and Jewish customs, Jewish traditions, they do that actually today still. The son or daughter on their own volition would go up and actually kneel down to their father and look up at the father like, you are resourceful. You are the source. And the father would speak that prayer of blessing over their children. And God says, you know what, the reason I don't want you to have idols is because I want you to look to me as your heavenly father, as the one who has all the resources in the world. Everything flows from me. And so therefore, I don't want you bowing down to anybody else. I want you to know you can come to me. What father here today would not want their kids to come to you to say, Daddy, fix it? Because you're supposed to be the man, right? Because you being the man are supposed to look to what? God as your source as being your foundation. Can I get a hallelujah here? And so children and wives and women look to men to say, wow, you're resourceful, honey and baby. You got it going on. Because you know what? You're looking to Jesus and how you can get it done. Yeah? But that's what our founding fathers wanted and desired. Something sturdy, something to build a house upon. Something to build a family upon. Do I have your attention this morning? We're going to look at this verse in just a little bit because Zechariah, he was on duty. We're talking about honoring our military and everything else and on duty. I just think, yeah, it's a play on words. This is what I do. And but opening thought here, our founding fathers desired freedom from weight of suppression and captivity, which is an extension of our Heavenly Father's heart. Jesus desires us to be free from the weight of suppression and captivity because that is why he came. To restore the foundations that have been shaken. I love yesterday how there was a chocolate fountain that was over there. You could dip and do, you know. I called it the fount of every blessing. How sweet it is. It has been coming. It is coming here to Mitchell Assembly of God Church. And lo and behold, something that I just spoke out. You know, we have power in our words. And yes, I was making, I do like to poke fun and just have fun. Little did I know there are going to be a word this morning of a fountain. And out of the hose, you know, that your pastor would give. And just intertwined, how this message this morning is so intertwined with even the Sunday school class this morning that Holly was speaking and teaching. A phenomenal job. If you are not a part of Sunday school, you need to be here. Because Holly, I'm not sure if she does it every week or whatever. She did a phenomenal job. Great interaction. Great teaching moment. Yeah, give her a hand. And literally what was spoken in Sunday school is interwoven, and she can see, and if you were here in Sunday school, it's interwoven within the message this morning. That's when you know Jesus is doing something here. All of this interweaving, the Holy Spirit is doing something, and it's beautiful. I love it when he does that. And this is why Jesus came. Why did he come? It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then do not let yourselves be burdened again with the yoke of slavery. That wasn't what they thought the founding fathers when they came over. To this, they were thinking of freedom. They were thinking release from slavery. That's why Jesus came, because you know what? They got entangled again here, the way down through the years, and Jesus said, I'm going to come again. I want to release them. She will give birth to a son. You are given the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. Now, I want to share, since we are honoring our fathers, honoring our men, but I'm sure the message will also speak to others as well today. And the Lord is so good that he is able to not only minister to just the men, but also to minister to the masses. That's including everyone that is here. But I want to dote on my dad just a little bit, because probably the reason why I am still single is because he set the bar high. I am sorry, but he set the bar high, and I'm looking... And I look at men, I'm looking at my daddy, and no one's measuring up. Because you know what? My dad was my resource. Anyway, so one day, but I tell you, I was a lot to handle. If you think I'm somewhere here, God bless my parents' hearts. When I was a little girl, I was rather adventurous. I still am today. But you know what? My dad wanted to take me out fishing. It was a dad and daughter type day. And so on a Saturday, you know, he worked full time. My dad was not a minister. No, he worked full time at Boeing. He used to be McDonnell Douglas. He was a general foreman, had many men under him, but he served in the church. There was not a Sunday that I don't remember my dad and mom not being there, where I did not see one offering go by where where the tithe went in the basket. The reason I tithe today and I give to missions is because, you know what? I saw, like Pastor said, things are sometimes more caught than taught this morning in Sunday school. I saw them giving every week without fail, faithfully giving to the Lord. And so anyway, he was faithful also in his work, but he was also faithful in church. But you know what? When you work 40 hours plus a day, you have a lot on your shoulders and things and stuff that happen at work. It takes a lot to spend some time with your kids, doesn't it? Especially when you have a highly adventurous one with high energy and you decide, I'm going to take her out fishing. And just to let you know, I am not the type of fisherman, and I still am not, that I go out to a pond or a river or whatever and I sit there and I watch the little thing bobble. Can I sit in one period for long amounts of time? Sometimes it's very difficult. Things have shifted a little bit because of age. But I still have a little bit of, you know, high energy to me. And so, I need the kind of fishing that, you know what, it's the cast out and reel in. Cast out and give me the constant motion. That's just me. And so, but I love doing that. So I'm there and my dad and I are there. And I'm casting out, I'm reeling in, I'm casting out and I'm reeling in. All of a sudden, there was boom, a catch. And I'm like, oh, I got one. And literally, I am yanking, I'm pulling, I'm yanking. The line, literally, the pole is like bent over like this. And I was like, Dad, I got something. Dad. And he comes over. Come on, honey, you can pull it in. Come on, you can do it. He goes, you're strong. And till today, I say, yeah, I'm strong. Mm-hmm. My daddy says I'm strong. I am. Ran my first 5K this year. Bam! And so I am like pulling and pulling and pulling. He's like, wow, there's a lot of weight on this. Good night. What has this girl got? Finally, it reveals itself. It is this huge, monstrous turtle that's on the end of my line. That turtle was not giving, and that thing was big. There's a reason why my pole almost just broke in half and that line, and he's like, oh dear, Renee, you've got to catch all right. But it's a turtle, and that thing was massive. And my dad didn't want to wrestle the turtle at the moment, but you know what? It was dad on duty. And dad on duty said, you know what? No more use pulling that weight anymore. And what did he do? In order to break three, he cut the line to loose the weight. And says, you know what, let's just fish again. Let me put a new line on there. It was dad on duty. And I'm sure he could do other things. And he could have went out golfing like he loved to do to get his mind off work. Some men do hunting. My dad, you know, golfed a lot. He could have surely done that. But you know what, he chose not to. And he chose literally to be faithful even when he was fatigued. And I am so thankful, though, that he set an example to show faithfulness in God's house, even when he was fatigued. Because now from heaven, I think maybe he can look down and see the fruits of 1,503 people that come to know the Lord because of his example and my decorated dad that I am honoring today. But I know in honoring my dad today, I'm honoring my Father God too. Hallelujah. And I love the fact that without fail, you know, we went on vacations as a family. It was like this. Church was not a vacation. You never took vacation. We found a church. Going to Florida and the beach, you know what? We're going to church on Sunday. He was faithful. And he was a dad on duty. Yet he faithfully served the Lord, and there is a cost in that, isn't there? There is a cost in duty and in service, isn't there? It certainly might not be what he wanted to do, but you know what? He wanted to put his family in a place where they could, what, be fruitful and thrive. And he was wise enough to know you can do that within the church. Hallelujah. But sometimes being on duty does take a toll. Do you know in the Bible, it talks about there being a temple tax, all right? And it was a legitimate thing where they were like going around and they wanted to collect from people a temple tax. And what does that mean? It meant a drachma, a half shekel, which they call a drachma. And you were supposed to give that for the temple to actually, like we do today, you know, have the lights run and just keep up with the temple and making it look nice and the priests and things of that nature and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So there was a temple tax. If you look up the original, it's called a toll, you know. Sometimes, though, it can cost to be sure that you're faithful in God's house, yeah? When you could be doing other things and enjoying maybe watching a football game or whatever. And sometimes we can bring the tolls and the burdens and the weight of this world, we can bring them into the temple, can't we? I will tell you this. My father is a general foreman and had many people underneath him but it was not easy for him. And in fact, there were things unfair in life when he worked. And I found out later why. I knew Dad went through a period of time where he didn't seem like he was like my dad. And just like, what is wrong? Now I look back and I know I found out. It's because somebody told a lie about him at work that had to do very much with his character. And it was a character assassination. And literally my dad was home from work. For several, I'm thinking, why is Dad off? Why is he here? Why? What's going on here? Later, I found out that he was being reprimanded. And for something, literally, somebody said a lie about him. People believed it. And you know, through that time, though, God went to church. I mean, we went to church. It was not, he did not take it out. We went to church. Even though it was unfair, he remained faithful. But you know what? Later down the life, I tell you what. The truth will come back. The truth will set you free. That same man that made those false accusations about him, they found him in a scenario. Let me say that was very revealing. And my dad was exonerated, back in his position, and yet elevated and seen as a man of character and integrity. And you know what? Sometimes when you come into the house of God, you're carrying weights with you. It took a toll on my dad. I could see it as a girl, and now I can see it, and I know why now. But I'm thankful that he was faithful and that he saw the fruits of him being faithful in all God's house. Hallelujah. And so let's look at the scripture verse right here. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And I love the fact, if we know about Zechariah, he came into the temple, he served as a priest, but you know what? Things were such in his life that he was literally probably having doubts in his mind. He was confused. Because any priest knew this is what you did. If you had a son, you would train him in the priesthood. And you would show him and say, son, this is called the altar. This is where we make intercession. This is where we burn incense. Our burning of the incense is like when we burn with God with our prayers. And God senses when we burn with him. So we burn the incense as a spiritual symbolism of what we do. And you know what? Our prayers are lifted up to God, and God hears us and he responds. And he makes manifest his presence. And that's what a priest did. But here was Zechariah. There was no pitter-pattering of the feet that followed him, because him and his wife, although God said they are people of character and integrity, and although it was looked upon as shame because they could not bear any children, here was Zechariah alone by himself. It seemed unfair. You know what? What does it feel like to be a man and not being able to produce something? And I don't mean that biologically necessarily. Although, you know, guys think, wow, whoop, all right, I just had a son and a daughter, things are good. This is the fruits of my labor, so to speak, you know? Come on, guys think that way. But what if a man cannot produce at work, cannot produce at home? Here is a man that is going, and he is serving, and it's his duty. How many military men and women do we know of that they serve, and you know what? They're fatigued in their fatigues. and they're serving and they're depleted in their mind, PTSD, all these things, because they're giving out and what they're seeing does not look fair. The warfare that they're seeing in front, it is not fair. The way people's lives live under captivity, it is not fair. They're doing what they feel they know they're valuable in doing and want to protect and bring freedom to those, and yet they don't even see it, and they're unfaithful, and all of a sudden they're getting disgruntled on the inside. But I love the fact that Zechariah is a model of a father here. You know what? Life stinks. But I chose and I choose to go and be on duty and be faithful, even when I'm fatigued, and I believe God will bear fruit. There's something to be said about that, isn't that? Because you know what? If you continue to be faithful, here's undaunted duty with God precedes a deployment of divine resources, unleashing a revolution. I believe that. Do you believe that? I believe that. Because God heard Zechariah's prayer. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. I want everybody to know, if you've been faithful, even when you're fatigued, you cried out to God and you really don't see anything in the natural, God does hear your prayers. Your wife will bear you, you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. A revolution started in the midst of just a revolving door of doubt that was going in Zechariah's mind and hearts. Maybe I can't produce anything here, but the Lord says, oh, yes, you can. And this is what I'm going to give you. In fact, you're going to start a revolution. You're going to start a revolution. Because fathers' hearts are going to be turned back to their children. Because God's father heart always goes out to what? His kids. Because he is our resource. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. So keep praying. Keep praying. In fact, the temple in the Old Testament, I tell you what, outside in the temple grounds in the outer court, it was like a slaughterhouse. There's no forgiveness without the wet shedding of blood. And if people had sin or whatever, they're supposed to bring lambs or go, you know, those type of things. And they're supposed to be sacrifices to shed their blood for a forgiveness of sins. Right? Thousands upon thousands. Okay, have you been hunting? Any guys hunting out here? Yeah? And you've like, you know, cut down to the meat? And how pleasant is that smell? Lovely. You go to the market and you get some, you know, meat or whatever, and it stays out for a little bit. How pleasant is that smell? It stinks. There's a stench. There's a reason why God says in the inner court to burn incense. Because it surely stunk out there in the world, in the outer part. Doesn't life stink sometimes? It stinks, and it is not fair. That's why Jesus says, come to me, because him, we carry the fragrance of the aroma of Christ. Because when we come to the altar, things are supposed to what? Smell a lot better. It stenches out there, Lord, but when I get close to you, even if things don't change, somehow things turn for the better because there is an aroma and I sense that you are near, and it is good for me to be in the house of the Lord. It is good for me to be in your presence because it still smells a lot sweeter in here than it does out there. Hallelujah. And so Zechariah was in there and the Lord spoke and says there's a revolution. And oh, he was able then to bring his children. His son. This is how we worship. This is what we do. This is what happens when the power of God comes on their son. Daughter. You know, it's like sticking your finger in a light socket. There's so much power source that maybe, you know, you shake. You don't know what to do with the power source. And then people get, you know, just a holy hug from Jesus. I call it kind of a different holy sedation is what I call it sometimes. They're under the power of God's holy sedation, and the Lord's doing a beautiful thing there, either revealing himself to them or, you know what, doing a surgery on some part of their lives. Yeah? Hallelujah. We honor those fathers that are here today and faithful in God's house. It's interesting because when Jesus said, or God says, you know what, bring me that tax, bring me that drachma, bring me that half shekel. Because if they brought it, the Bible does say in the Old Testament, then you will be free from any disease that incurs. You'll be free from, and there will be an atonement for you, a covering. So basically, if you bring the cost, you'll be covered. That's the way in the Old Testament. So in the New Testament, you have people going around and people actually going to Peter. Peter, of course, is one of Jesus' disciples. And they were doubting Jesus' loyalty and faithfulness. Just like my dad, they doubted my dad's loyalty and faithfulness. They doubted Jesus' loyalty and faithfulness to the temple. And they said, hey, instead of going to Jesus directly, stinkers, no, we don't do that. Instead, they asked one of us, of course, that happens today in our churches, instead of going to the pastor, Anyway, so they went to Peter and say, doesn't your Jesus pay the temple tax? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Doesn't he do that? And so Jesus, of course, knowing all things, saying, you know what, Peter, I know what's been asked of you. And people, so this is what I want you to go out, cast out a line, go fish. And when you bring in a fish, look in its mouth, and you will find a drachma. I want you to take that to the temple to pay for yours and for mine. Well, God always is directing us to his presence and to his courts and to his temple, isn't he? Yeah? So if you paid the cost, you were covered, so to speak. So God's desire is that all costs, detriments, or lost be covered. And there's the scripture I was talking about, Exodus 30:16. You'll use it as an atonement or a covering. Now I'll quickly go along here and we'll get here and see what Jesus wants to do in your life. You know, where you spend your time, where you devote yourself and your sacrifice, it reveals what you value. That's another pondering point. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So I can spend my money anywhere in the world and I have, but where I spend my time says a lot because time is precious, isn't it? Yeah. You want to know what I value in life? Watch where I spend my time and who I spend my time with. That's what I value. We can see a lot about that, can't we? Yes, we can. Jesus said, you know what? I want to spend my time with people to make sure. So in the fullness of time, God gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes. We would know it in the King James Version, swaddling clothes, and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Yes, this is Christmas. This is a season. And you know what is interesting? If you look up and you do a study, in which I did, on those swaddling clothes, it's literally called strips of clothes. It's strips of clothes that they put around a baby, okay? Strips of clothes. Now, I found that very interesting because when you do a study in the Old Testament, and people who have leprosy in the Bible, taking on, it was symbolic of sin. If someone was a leper, they had to go and say, I'm unclean, I'm clean, don't touch me, because, you know, sin separates us from God. So they were separated from people. And the Bible says this, you know what? They had to take clothes and strips of clothes around them. To what? Cover the leprosy. The original, swallowing. There is the original word. There you go. You can try to pronounce it if you want. I am not. But meaning to strap or wrap with strips. Okay? Now, there is the verse. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes. Let the hair be unkempt. Cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean, in the Leviticus 13:45. Here's what's so great about that. Jesus, that we celebrate him coming into this world this month, took on the swaddling clothes, the strips, because he was literally saying, you know what? The former symbolic symbolism of sin and leprosy and the torn clothes, I am going to what? Take on sin. I'm going to be covered in it. Atonement mean what? Covering. I am going to take it on. The weight, I'm going to take it on. So Jesus, took on the strips, the stripes, so we could have freedom. Literally, when Jesus then died on the cross, he was what? By his stripes, we are made what? Whole. You know what? The American flag we have as a watermark here on the PowerPoint. There is red and white stripes. Now, I know it is meant for something other, but I tell you what, it is stripes that you literally have to weave together. Can we look at that as a banner for a covering, as what our founding fathers wanted and desired for this nation, for this country, to say, you know what? This banner, we want our banner to bear the stripes and the scars and stars of Jesus, to set a foundation. Let our fathers now be the foundation, because they have put their faith upon the foundation of the rock of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So when you see that flag waved, you think of Jesus bearing the stripes, taking on the sin of the leper, taking on our sins on the cross, coming and being born in the manger in the swaddling strips of clothes, then dying on the cross, taking the stripes upon his back. Then America, the stars and the stripes. Lord, let that banner, when it waves high, Lord, let freedom ring in the supernatural and in the spiritual, setting people free, restoring the foundations that have been lost in America. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to kind of go on like really, 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 really quickie here, and I'm going to skip some things, but you know what? Here's the fact. The drachma that I talked about, that you're supposed to bring for the temple tax, it was not known as what we have on our money today. One penny is 1 cent. 5 cents, a drachma, that coin, that half shekel they were supposed to bring for the toll, the duty, it was known by its weight. And I don't think that is by mistake. He said, Peter, go out and I want you to fish. I want you to pull the weight from the fish. Fish is very symbolic to men. Fishers of what? Men. And I think it's very providential that he used Peter. Say, Peter, bring the weight. Take it to the temple. Because, guess what? I am the temple of the New Testament, Jesus says. I am that temple. The temple, after 3 days, I will rise again. You're supposed to bring your weight and your burdens, not just to the temple of the church, but bringing them to Jesus. Because he is what? The weight lifter. Bearing the toll that you have. And I think it's very providential that he said it to Peter. Because why? I say that you are what? Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Foundational. Peter, I want you to be a foundation. I say you are a rock. The founding fathers coming over here to build our foundation. Man, God made man from the foundations of the earth. Peter, I say you are a rock. This is what I want my church to be representative. I want them to be solid. I want them to be a rock. Jesus was not born in a wooden little manger. If you do your research, that manger was made out of stone. It was made out of a rock. Jesus saying that he is what? The rock. You build our house upon what? The rock, because he is our foundation. But Peter, I say that you are a rock. You're a representative of me. You're a man. I want you to bear that. And I want you to bear that. And this is the way I want my church. I want my church to be the weightlifters. As people come through those doors, the temple doors, especially around this season, get their drachma, get the weight. We have that authority and the tools in the name of Jesus to take that authority and say, wait. Be removed in the name of Jesus. Jesus takes your weight, takes the shame upon him. Jesus provides the weight loss, takes the toll, and pays the cost for our freedom. Let's assert his authority and free the captives and see every captive set free. Let freedom ring this Christmas season. Can somebody say hallelujah? And I don't know where you're at today, and I wanted to honor my father and honor all the fathers here that are so foundational to the fabric of our society. And I don't know if there's fathers here that you are extremely fatigued, bearing fatigues. Or maybe, you know what? You have a lot of scars upon your back. But I know Jesus, who has bore the scars, bore the stripes for your freedom, personally, spiritually. And he wants the weight being lifted off everyone, even within Mitchell here. Even we have the tools, people. We have the authority of the name of Jesus to be that foundation, to be the foundation, and also the fountain. So a rock-solid foundation, sturdy upon strong discipleship here within this church, what our churches are missing. I don't know. I exercise. I need protein. I just don't do it once a week. I need it daily. Give me that protein. And somehow we think we can come in for one service, an hour and a half, and make it through the rest of the week. Seriously? Getting the meat of the word just one time a week? What's happened? We need strong discipleship and knowledge on fire. We need a solid rock foundation and the fire of God's Spirit. Unashamedly Pentecostal, unashamedly working, because people are looking out there and they're getting it through palm reading. They're getting it through seances. They're getting it through New Age. They're getting it through yoga because they're hungry. Now's the time for the church to set up signs, wonders, and miracles. We don't look for the signs, wonders. We look to Jesus, but out flows from him the fountain of the resources of life that he wants it to just flood off as a water hose, right, to the rest of the community. And I want to know here today, if you can say, you know what? I need freedom in my life. I need forgiveness. I have intentionally sinned. I know I've intentionally, and I know I've hurt the heart of God, because I have purposefully and intentionally sinned. There's just no, let's just say it the way it is. I need Jesus to forgive me. I need him to save me. I need him to restore me. If that's you today and you say, I need Jesus, raise your hand. Forgive me, restore me. Okay. See, I believe God confirms his word with signs following. It's not the person who preaches, but it's the power of his word. Anytime his word is preached, he confirms it with signs following. People get saved, people get healed, people get delivered. The Holy Spirit has drawn people today to say, yeah, that's me. How many people can hear to say, you know what, I need freedom in my life from, I don't know, it might be something that's just bothering you. It might be a physical problem that you're struggling with pain or something physically, something emotionally, spiritually. Raise your hand and say, that's me, and I need freedom in my life, in my family. Yeah, the hands are flying. Let freedom ring here this morning. Why not receive all that Jesus has for you? It's time for us to take a stand. We see our military and proud and marching through the streets, and yet we have failed to bring people back to the altars? Seriously? Seriously. Is that where we've come? To where it's just like, you know what? It stinks out there, but yet we can't get in close to where the aroma, the fragrance is, back to up here, like at the front of the altar, saying, Lord, we need you. We need you. We're desperate for you. Our nation's desperate for you. Yeah? So if you raise your hand, if you raise your hand saying you need Jesus to forgive you, you raise your hand saying, I need the Lord, and you just raise your hand saying, you know what? We need to take America back and our nation's back. It's time. And you want to stand up just like you would serve in the army. You're serving in God's army. And that is an honorable thing as well. Hallelujah. Let's stand to your feet. You say, I need Jesus. I need to forgive me. We're opening the altars. I'm gay. If you want to come and get on the pianos, that'd be just fine and dandy. And if Mr. L and some of the other men can, like, follow me as we pray for people, that'd be great. We're going to have a time of prayer here at the altars. And then pastor's going to come in just a little bit. But we want to see what Jesus is up to. If you raised your hand and said, I need Jesus' forgiveness, I've intentionally sinned, I want you, come on, come forward. There's many, you're not going to be by yourself. Thank you. Here we go. You raise your hand and say, you know what? I need Jesus to do a miracle in my life. I need healing. I need healing in my body. Come on, you raise your hand. You're not going to be here by yourself. Grab the hand of somebody. If they raise their hand, grab the hand of someone and say, I'll go with you. Come on. Amen. We're going to see what Jesus is up to today in your life, but we want to get an opportunity for the Lord just to do a work, forgive, to save, to heal spiritually in your souls. Yes? Yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So if that's you, why don't we all pray together and invite Jesus in to forgive us and change our lives, okay? If we can, as Pastor said, just open up our hands. We're posturing ourselves to receive. We're posturing ourselves to receive what Jesus has for us. We have time for the Lord. I know time has gotten a little away from us. I do gab, have the gift of gab. But we want to see what the Lord's gifts are for us today. Okay, let's pray. Say, Jesus, come on, say it out loud with confidence. Jesus, I need you. My family needs you. We are desperate for you. Jesus, I have intentionally sinned. I've made wrong choices. So I thank you that you bore the weight of my choices on the cross. You took up my sin. You took my shame. You took my weight. You've taken the tolls of my life. You died for me. And then gave me freedom by rising again. Jesus, I believe in you. Take my sins. Come into my life. Forgive me. Restore me. Make me new. In Jesus' name, I receive your forgiveness. I receive your wholeness. I receive all you have for me. Thank you, Jesus, for your salvation, for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.